16, we might look at several verses, but we certainly want to look at the first few verses. Psalm 116, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call on him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Maybe we'll stop right there. So as we think about this, you know, I thought the first song and then the song that the young folks sung, how thankful that we ought to be and love the Lord because of his love toward us. You know, if it hadn't have been for the love of God, what would we have done? What would have happened to us? And not only the love of God, but you know, he brought us to the place that we would call on him. The truth for me, you know, if the Lord hadn't have brought me down, I would have never called on him. If he hadn't have brought trouble and sorrow, I wouldn't have called on the Lord. So the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined. So, you know, the Lord is ready to hear. And by this word of God, the word means that he would bend his ear toward us. And maybe you've done that before. I saw Samantha's daddy doing that last Friday night. I saw him doing this right here. You know what he was doing? He was trying to make sure that he was hearing. He was trying to hear. God, the psalmist said, Lord, I'm thankful because thou hast inclined his ear. He hath inclined, he has bent his ear unto me. You know, isn't that something? Not just to the world, but to me as an individual. Now, you think about that there's 8 billion people in the world today. And whether you believe it or not, through and by the Holy Spirit of God, God could hear the individual prayers made right here in this little place tonight from you as an individual. And it wouldn't matter how many other people across the world would be on their face praying unto God tonight. He is able to hear my prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you inclined your ear unto my prayer and my supplication. And what I'd really like to get to, if the Lord would help us, is on down, and he says this. He says in verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. You know, the Lord's not interested today in a sacrifice of a lamb. And really, you know, a dollar. You know, what we put in the offering at the church, that's not to God. People think that's something that they give to God. That's not to God. You know what the Lord's looking for? A sacrifice. Look at those words. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. The Lord would like to hear from our heart a sacrifice, an offering unto God for that he's done for us. So the first few verses, I believe, is a great picture of what God has done for us. I love you, Lord, because thou hast heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call on him as long as I live. Now, I'd like for you to think about this. If God really heard your prayer and really saved you and brought you out of trouble and sorrow and affliction, and your soul, the gates of hell was right around your soul, wouldn't you think that from that point forward that there would be praise and call upon that God, that one that delivered, that one that answered, that one that heard you as an individual? Wouldn't you think if God made that change in a man and a woman's life, that all the rest of the days of their life would be lived for the Lord, honoring to the Lord, and that our praise and our thanksgiving and our prayers would be unto Him? You know, it makes me think, what have people been delivered? The psalmist said, Lord, I'm going to call on you the rest of my days, the rest of my life, my thanksgiving, my prayer, my supplication. You're going to be the one that I call on. You're going to be the one that I thank. You're going to be the one that I praise, because, Lord, when I was in trouble, when I was in sorrow, you heard my prayer individually. The day that God saved me, I don't know who else the Lord might have been doing a work on in that day, but I know this. Thank God He heard my prayer that day. And you know something? Thank God I believe that. I believed it then. I believe it today. A friend, thank the Lord that He heard my prayer, gave me the witness of His Spirit. I have the Word of God to rely upon. When I don't feel like it, when I don't feel saved, when I don't feel like I deserve anything, you know what I go? I go back and I think, to go back to the Word of God. And friend, there is where I trust. There, David is going to say, oh my soul, take your rest. Rest, oh my soul, in the Lord. God, we can have a rest, ladies and gentlemen. If the Lord has heard our prayer, if the Lord has heard our supplication, when nobody else could help us, when we were on the bottom, when the demons of hell and friend, the fear and the sorrow and the dread were all around our soul, thank God the Lord bent His ear to hear us. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. You know what the Lord was doing? He was bringing man to the place that he would call upon God. I believe that. I believe that He said it in the song. He said, Lord, you move on us. You move upon us, Lord, and we'll run after Thee. You call us, Lord. You draw us, and we'll run after Thee. It was not my nature. It was not my intention. It was not my inclination to run after God. But I tell you what He did. He come by with the Word of God. He come by with the Holy Spirit. He come by with conviction. He brought fear. He brought sorrow. He brought dread. He brought unrest. He brought turmoil in my heart. And thank God, I tell you, He did that out of bring me to Him. You think, man, that everything's going lovely. Now, I don't take me wrong. Everything was going just fine in my outward man. But I tell you what, you talk about turmoil on the inside. God did exactly what verse 3 says. The sorrows of death compassed me. You know what I was afraid of? I was afraid of dying. I was afraid that I was going to die lost and undone. I was unprepared to die. But thank God it was the Lord that brought that fear. It was the Lord that brought that sorrow. It was the Lord that brought the pains of hell round about. It was God Almighty that brought me to that place. You know what He was doing? He was bringing me to that place that I would call upon His name. The Bible says, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 12, also probably in the book of Luke, he talked about a strong man. And he said, the strong man keepeth his palace and his goods are at peace. Well, I was getting along just fine. And the truth is, I belonged to the devil. The devil was on the throne of my heart. I was living for him, had my life yielded unto him. But the Lord come by. The Lord come by, and friend, he upset what was going on in my heart. He took away. He took away that lie. He took away the peace. He took away the rest. He took away that place of unconcern. He took that away, and he filled that with trouble, and he filled that with sorrow, and he filled that with fear, and he filled that, friend, with dread. And friend, I thought that I was going to die and go to hell. And friend, the honest to God truth is that was where I was headed. But friend, God was doing a work on the inside of me and upsetting my world and upsetting the devil's apple cart, and friend, turning it upside down. And I tell you what he did. Friend, when he brought that fear and that dread and that sorrow and the fear of hell, friend, he removed the lie that the devil had me deceived with. You could have asked me, honest to God, you could have asked me 5 minutes earlier. Just asked me the question if I was going to heaven. Oh yeah. That wasn't a question presented to me. The question presented to me was, have you ever been saved? Like a load of brick falling upon my heart. Verse 3 became a reality inside this fella. Inside, on the inside of the man. I found trouble and sorrow. The pains of hell got hold upon me. The sorrows of death compassed me. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. That's what I wanted. That's what you wanted. If you're saved, I tell you what we did. We began to call on God. Did I know anything about praying? Absolutely nothing did I know about praying. But I know this. Friend, I know that I was seeking after God. I know that I wanted to escape hell. Friend, did I know all about what Jesus had done? Did I know, friend, what Clark told us on Friday night about the atonement? I didn't know the fullness of that. But I'll tell you this, I knew that I was lost. I knew I'd never been saved. I knew that I lived like the devil. I knew that I talked like the devil. I knew that I was on my way to hell and there had never been a change. Thank God he put something in my heart how to make me call and beg God, a friend, to change the situation. You know what I owe him? I owe him thanks all the days of my life. I owe him thanks that he didn't leave me in the condition I was in. So the Bible said, I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Now, you just think about this. How's he calling on God? I tell you, friend, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Friend, you talk about humbleness. Friend, you talk about getting humble. Friend, when conviction falls upon a man, he'll get humble. Friend, when man's in his own pride and his own thinking and the devil's in control, you can't talk to him. He's too prideful. He's too big. He's too mighty. He's got it all figured out. And I tell you, when the pains of hell begin to come around your soul, when the sorrows of death compass you about, friend, when trouble and sorrow come down out of your house, I tell you what he can do. He can bring you to the place how that you'll get humble and you'll begin to cry out unto God, and you've never ever cried unto God before, and maybe you've said, I never will cry unto God. I tell you, he can bring us to the place that man will cry unto God. That's his desire. You know how he said we'd have to come like a little child. You know, something as simple as a water fountain back there, that a little child will do like this. They'll hold their hands up to mama and daddy. They'll hold their hands up to mamaw and papaw. they'll hold their hands up that you could hold them up there and they could get a little drink of water. Friend, I tell you, God can get us to the place that we'll hold our hands up, and friend, we'll hold our heart up unto God. And I say this, thank God for it, because without it, without conviction, man will never humble himself and come to God. A man is too prideful. He's too much like Adam. Friend, we've got our own nature. And friend, our nature, the honest to God truth is, our nature is Adamic and devilish. And that's our nature until God Almighty gives us a new one. He'll have to give us a new heart. And thank God He can give us a new nature too. But David, or the psalmist, whether this is David or not, I don't know for certain. But the psalmist says this, Lord, I beseech Thee. I beseech Thee. You know, Paul said that over in Romans chapter number 12. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. You know, that's what God's wanting. God's wanting a reasonable sacrifice. He's wanting a sacrifice that man is willing, man is desiring, man is able, and man wants to yield himself and give God glory for what He's done for him. Lord's not interested in my lamb. He's not interested in my Isaac. He's not interested in your Isaac or your lamb or your money. I tell you what He'd like to have. He'd like to have somebody say thank you. We're living in a world today, and I've experienced it right here. We're living in a world today that people have forgot how to say thank you. We get little cards about this and little cards about that and little cards about this. And I try to honor all of those. And I couldn't tell you the times that I've give not even a thank you. And you may have experienced the very same thing. Not even a thank you. Now, what do you think would have been said if I hadn't a give? Oh, you reckon there'd been talk? So let me ask you this. What would have been said if God hadn't been merciful? What would have been said if God, when we called and we cried and we prayed and we begged and we got humble, if God hadn't answered? Wouldn't that have been a terrible thing? But God said, what I would like is I would like thanksgiving. I would like, the psalmist said, I'm going to give the offering, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and call upon Thy name all the days of my life. Friend, we ought to thank the Lord for what He's done for us. A friend, that God would think upon man. You know, this may be just a little simple thing. But the Bible said, I then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Now you look at those three words there. Gracious, righteous, and merciful. How could He be all of those? How could He be gracious to me and yet righteous? How could He be righteous and yet merciful? How could God be those three things in one verse? How could He be gracious to me and yet be righteous? How could He be righteous and yet be merciful? Somebody has got to take my place. Someone has to stand in for me. Because for God to be merciful, a friend, His righteousness has to be met. For God to be gracious, His righteousness will have to be met. Because Friend, from what I hear, friend, if God is just, and I believe that He is, and if God is righteous, and I believe that He is, and God is holy, and I believe that He is, how in the world could He be gracious and merciful unto a sinner like me, and yet be a God that is righteous? Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, our friend, that you and I could call upon, that God could be both gracious, righteous, and be gracious, and righteous, and be gracious, and merciful, our friend, and be righteous all at the same time, that God could be all of those in the Lord Jesus Christ. God could be righteous and be merciful unto me. I tell you, our friend, the wrath, our friend, and the anger, our friend, and the winepress of God's wrath was trodden by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Our friend, if you wanted to look at it, our friend, God trod Him underfoot for my sin, that I could have the graciousness and the mercy and Jesus is my righteousness. He satisfied God's righteousness. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. You know, I had no means. Honest to God, no means. You know what my hope was in? My hope was in that God would be merciful. My hope was that God would be gracious. Because, honest to goodness, I had no means of meeting what God's requirement was. I had no means of meeting God's righteousness. There was nothing in me that warranted God's mercy. There was nothing in me that warranted God's grace. Friend, nothing about me, nothing in me in the past, the present, or the future that would warrant God's grace nor His mercy. But thank God, the Lord preserveth the simple. You know what I had to do? Thank God, the Lord gave me enough sense to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do. All I know to do is to look unto Thee. Our friend, thank God He gave us enough sense, our friend, and enough grace to call upon the Lord Jesus to stand in for us. Should there not be a praise, an offering of thanksgiving for a God who would provide? You know, it was God that so loved the world, right? It was God that so loved the world, and God gave His Son that you and I could be loved. Now you think about that. God is angry with the wicked every day, and going to cast all those nations that forget God, they're going to be cast into hell. So how in the world could I have favor with God? The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Do you remember? You remember Peter over in the Matthew? They were out on the sea. You remember how long Peter's prayer was? Lord, save me. What kind of condition do you think that Peter was in when those words came out of his mouth? I believe the psalmist is in that same sort of place. He's in that place that fear and dread and the fear of death and the fear of dying without God, that's upon his heart, and he doesn't have some great elaborate, some great oration, our friend, that he's going to say and beseech God with all of the right words. But I tell you what he's going to say: Lord, I beseech Thee, save my soul. Lord, redeem my soul. God, revive my soul. Lord, bring life unto me. God, I have no hope, no place to look. There's no place that I can look, no hope that I have in anything that I have or anything that I could do. But, oh God, my hope is in Thee. I believe it was Jehoshaphat said, Lord, you see this great number? Lord, you see this great number that we're facing? Lord, we don't have any hope, but our eyes are upon Thee. That's where the psalmist was. The psalmist, now you think about Peter. Where did his eyes move from and to? The Bible said that the winds were boisterous and the waves, a friend, and when Peter began to look upon that, he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. Don't you think that his eyes went from the sea and, friends, seeing the wind roll up the waves, friend, and looking as though that Peter was going to die, don't you imagine when he said, Lord, save me, that he directed those words toward looking at the face of the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you reckon that his eyes was moved from the surroundings and looking to the object that he was crying to? Is that not what the children do? I mean, if they get a cut, they get a bruise, they get a scrape, what's the first thing they do? I tell you, wherever mother's at, wherever daddy's at, if they're looking that way, if they're running away and they fall and hit the ground, I tell you what they're going to do immediately. They're going to turn around and cry to mama and daddy. That's what the psalmist is doing. I cried, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. So now you think about this. That word, that word's the word that we get repentance from. That word is to turn back. So you think about this. How could I turn back? How could I turn back to God? Oh, I tell you, by the mercy of God, I could turn and call upon Him. By the graciousness of God. Friend, if it wasn't for the grace and the mercy of God, you know what the Lord would let us do? He'd let us go right on down the road to hell. But I believe it's in Ezekiel or Jeremiah, he said, you shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. You ever been going somewhere? Might have been in a store, might have been in the woods, might have been on the creek bank, might have been in a crowd of people. And somebody said, this is the way, and you changed direction. If the Lord hadn't have said, this is the way. You know what He said in the 14th chapter of John? He said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But thank God the Lord Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way to rest. Rest, return unto thy rest, O my soul. You know what we're going to do? I tell you, friend, where is my rest? My rest, according to the psalmist, my rest is in the Lord. My rest is to come unto Him. My rest, when I think about rest, you know what I think about? I don't know what you think about. But friend, wouldn't you think about this? If I'm going to rest, I'd like to have some peace and quiet. Do you think about peace and quiet when you think about rest? Now think about peace and quiet in here. That's where the rest is at. Because the turmoil was going on in here. The turmoil was going on in the heart. And the psalmist says, I return unto thy rest, O my soul. Oh, my soul, what can I rest in? I tell you, I can rest in this. I can rest in the love of God. And you know what? I've already said it. I can rest in the Word of God. Folks, when you can't rest any other place, you can rest in the Word of God. You can count on, you can lay down on. A friend, He's the Rock of Ages. He's the chief cornerstone. You can know this. The whole church is resting on that chief cornerstone
all of the church is built around that chief cornerstone. I want you to know this. He is able to bear the weight of it all. You can rest there. I can have peace with God. I can have peace on the inside of me. I can be delivered from the pains of hell. I can be delivered from sorrow. I can be delivered from that turmoil and that chaos that's going on the inside. Oh, friend, how do I rest? Thank God I rest in the grace of God. I rest in a finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rest in a salvation. How the writer in Hebrews said that we're saved unto the uttermost. God saves them unto the uttermost. Them that come to God by Jesus. Thank God I've got a salvation and I'm saved to the uttermost completely. We can rest in that. You know, the devil likes for you to go through life in turmoil day after day after day. But the psalmist said, return. Return unto thy rest. Return unto thy rest. O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Can I count on God? Preacher, what if we sin? Can we count on God then? Will you answer that question? Can you count on God when you sin? I don't know whether I can or not. I feel awful guilty. Well, that's good that you feel guilty. That's real good. Maybe that'll help us not to sin in that same way next week, next month. But you know what I'm going to rest in? I'm going to rest in this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. How in the world can God be just to forgive me? You know why He's just to forgive me? Because my faith is in what Jesus has done. My faith is in a finished work that was done at Calvary. Friend, if my faith is in Jesus Christ, you know what God has to do? God has to forgive me when I confess my sin. Does God want me to sin? No, ma'am, and no, sir. God does not want me to sin. And He said, I write these things that you sin not. But if any man sin, thank God I've got an advocate. You know where I find that? In the Word of God. What do I rest in? I rest in the Word of God. I rest in a living Word of God. I rest in a risen Word of God. I rest in a gracious Word of God. I rest in a merciful Word of God. Thank God we've got a Word that we can rest in. We're sinners. We've still got a sinful nature. But if we confess our sin, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. You know something? There's no need for me to say that I haven't sinned. Because the honest to God truth is, our friend, I need the Lord's forgiveness every day because I have failed and come short and deviated and twisted and done the wrong thing and missed the mark or any way you want to slice it or dice it, I've sinned against God. Now listen. Till I get that taken care of, there's going to be no thanksgiving to God. There's condemnation there. There's a separation there. I've got a conscience that convicts me. And if my conscience convicts me, how much more does God convict me? But I can go to God. I can pray. I can humbly ask God for forgiveness. I can say that God said you sinned. I can say, Lord, you're exactly right. I have sinned. Please forgive me of my sin. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, I want to praise you. I want to honor you. I want to offer you an offering and a sacrifice of thanksgiving for what you've done for me. So I ask you this. If you're saved today, That's enough to praise Him for, isn't it? But let me ask you, from the time that you've been saved till today, how many times would you say God's forgiven you? Is that anything to praise Him for? I mean, just imagine that if He left us in our chaos, in our heart, if He left us in our guilt, if He left us in our iniquity, and He left us missing the mark, and He left us with the pains of hell and the fear of death upon us, imagine what kind of shape we'd be in after a day or two. You talk about miserable people. My friend, God doesn't want us to go around in misery day after day. But the psalmist said, Lord, I'm going to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving unto Thee. Have we got anything to thank Him for? I'm not talking about what John Wayne said. I can't say, Lord, thank You for the knee surgery. I can't say that. Have I got anything to thank God for? I tell you, thank God He inclined His ear to me. Thank God He heard my prayer. Thank God when I was in sorrow and trouble, when I had sorrow and trouble, the Lord heard me. Friend, when I had sinned, I confessed my sin. And you know what He was? He was faithful and just to forgive me. You know where I find that promise? In the Word of God. I can rest. I tell you, thank God I can lay down and rest in a salvation that is complete. A salvation that lacks absolutely nothing. In a God who is in control. You may look around and you think, well, it just looks like things are out of control. Oh no, they are not out of His control. They may be out of your control. And you may not be able to do a thing about it, but I want you to know this, they are not out of God's control. Rest in that. Rest in a finished work. Rest in this, that the Lord Jesus Christ called you, convicted you, saved you, made you a part of His family. Thank God if He did that for you while you were a sinner on the road to hell. Does He not love you even more today that you're in His family? I don't know how you could say it. I don't know if you could say that He loves us more today that we're in the family than He did when we were on the outside. But I know this. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and He changeth not. So from my viewpoint, I'm dead in trespasses and sins, on the road to hell, and Jesus died for me in the worst condition that I've ever been in all of my life. From my viewpoint, it looks like that God would love me even more now that I'm in the family. But you see, His love is the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore, He changeth not. He's asking for a sacrifice of thanksgiving.